ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग दिस मॉर्निंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 4 विच इज एंटाइटल्ड द अट्रोसिटीज ऑफ किंग कंस टेक्स्ट नंबर 22। यावत् तोस्मि हन्तास्मि त्यात्मानं मन्यते स्वदृक् तावत् तद् अभिमान्यज्ञो बाध्यबाधकतामियात्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: In the bodily conception of life, one remains in darkness without self-realization, thinking, I am being killed, or I have killed my enemies. As long as a foolish person thus considers the self to be the killer or the killed, he continues to be responsible for material obligations, and consequently, he suffers the reactions of happiness and distress. Purport: By the grace of the Lord, Kamsa felt sincere regret for having unnecessarily persecuted such Vaishnavas as Devaki and Vasudev, and thus he came to the transcendental stage of knowledge. Because I am situated on the platform of knowledge, Kamsa said, understanding that I am not at all the killer of your sons, I have no responsibility for their death. As long as I thought that I would be killed by your son, I was in ignorance. But now I am free from this ignorance, which was due to a bodily concept of life. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18:17, यस्य नाहं कृतो भावो बुद्धिर्यस्य न लिप्यते हत्वापि स इमाल लोकान न हन्ति न निबध्यते। One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, is not the slayer, nor is he bound by his actions. According to this axiomatic truth, Kamsa pleaded that he was not responsible for having killed the sons of Devaki and Vasudev. Please try to excuse me for such false external activities, he said, and be pacified with the same knowledge. Hare Krishna. So I'd like to take blessings from Srinathji Prabhu and all the other senior Vaishnavas present here before I try to discuss this particular subject matter that appears here in this 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Today, of course, seems like Janmashtami for us at Chowpatty. You know, so many boys from Pune, Nishtha camp is increasing our Nishtha. You know, seeing so many young boys come together and such enthusiastic Mangalarti and enthusiastic Guru Puja, seems like life coming back, you know, very lively. Thank you. So one time, Srila Prabhupada was lecturing at the 26th Second Avenue Temple in New York. And like many times during the lecture, there are a lot of disturbances. This time the disturbance was very unique. There was this motorcycle gang called the Hells Angels, and all of these goons, hooligans, they were on their motorbikes and they came straight outside the 26th Second Avenue Temple in New York. And there were many of them, and they started, you know, I don't know what you call, accelerating their bikes and making huge amount of sound. If you ever go to the Soho Street Temple in London, you can experience that. You know, once when I was in the Soho Street Temple, and if you're there on a weekend, it's madness. Don't even imagine. Imagination is trouble. Madness. One night I suddenly felt that there was a plane taking off. And I thought London Heathrow Airport was like an hour drive from there. And then I got up to come out and see from the window, there were about 100 bikers, all accelerating their bikes. It seemed like a plane taking off. So when I read this story, I found it very relevant. All of these bikers were
accelerating their bikes, making a huge sound, and Prabhupada was very disturbed. Because, you know, he couldn't really continue his talk. So the devotees asked, Srila Prabhupada, should we go and stop them? Srila Prabhupada said, stopping them, they're not going to listen. In fact, for a person who's trying to tease you, if you kind of respond, they tease more. So if you go and tell them stop, they're going to do it more. So just tolerate it for a while. So again, they went and came back again. They started accelerating for a while. And when you don't give any ghas, you know what happens. You just blow the air out of the balloon. They just left. And then Srila Prabhupada was continuing the lecture. And Srila Prabhupada said, just see. How cruel. Just see. Their only job is to trouble others. And how do they want to trouble? They want to trouble others by making sound. And then Prabhupada started doing grrr, grrr. In the lecture, he started making this sound. They simply want to trouble by making this sound. Grrr, grrr. Therefore, in their next life, they will be born in a way they can make sound and trouble others. They'll become flies and mosquitoes. And I'm sure everyone has experienced this. You know, one fly or one mosquito just doing the sound can have the softest bed and the best room, but one can be terribly irritated. And then Srila Prabhupada said, this demoniac mentality means to simply cause trouble to others. And therefore here in these four chapters, 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the 10th canto, we are reading about this demoniac personality called Kamsa, whose sole business is to cause trouble to others. In fact, he caused so much trouble to Vasudev, to Devaki, and to the residents of Sri Vrajbhumi that even much later, just about 500 odd years back, when Aurangzeb was breaking so many temples in India, he was called as the reincarnation of Kamsa. It was commonly known that Aurangzeb seems to be like the reincarnation of Kamsa. Kamsa reincarnate, simply causing trouble to others. So much so that he even put his father, Shah Jahan, behind bars. In as much as Kamsa put his own father, Ugrasen, behind bars. No wonder they compared Aurangzeb with Kamsa. In fact, even today, if you go to Mathura, there is a particular tithi when Lord Krishna killed Kamsa in that Rangashala, in that wrestling arena. We only knew that, you know, on the day of Vijayadashmi, devotees of Lord Ram celebrate by burning a huge effigy of Ravana. But if you didn't know this, take note. And if you ever come to know what that tithi is, visit Mathura. In Mathura, the tithi when Kamsa was killed by Lord Krishna is still celebrated. And they make a huge effigy of Kamsa in the area of the Rangashala. And all the Brajvasis and Mathuravasis go there. And they spit on his face. They punch him. They take sticks and beat him. And they give all Ganda Galis to Kamsa. All this pure vocabulary that they have, they use to criticize and condemn Kamsa. Of course, if we go there, our mentality will also be fulfilled. You know, the propensity to do like that. Yesterday, someone asked His Holiness Jayadvait Swami Maharaj in the evening, how does one use his wrath? And Jayadvait Swami Maharaj replied, Krodhat Bhakta Dveshi Jane. Use it against someone like this. And of course, I'm not suggesting go and punch him and spit on him. Anyways, we haven't spat on anyone for so long. And if we go to this Mathura on this day, probably we might enjoy spitting on that effigy. Don't try it. But that is how cruel Kamsa was. And suddenly we find this gentleman. I don't know if you call him gentleman. At least here he seems to be like that. He was probably a mental man. Mano rathe na sati dhavato bahihi. Mano ratha. Everyone travels on a ratha, a chariot. And conditioned souls travel on the chariot of the mind. Simply being affected by what is called in modern day psychology as mood swings. Mood swings. Suddenly there is a mood. Today, I feel like going to the temple. Mangalarti. And we come. Today, I feel like not at all getting up for the Mangalarti. That today is almost every day. You know. How much the conditioned soul is subjected to these mood swings? And most often, if not always, a conditioned soul is a mental man. A mental man who is simply following the dictations of the mad mind. Mano rathe nasati dhavato. Bahihi. Being bewildered by the external energy of the Lord. Most often, the conditioned soul acts as a mental man, the servant of the mind. Very seldom do we find that a conditioned soul acts as a gentleman. Yesterday, His Holiness Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj was mentioning in his class. Srila Prabhupada said, you shall know who my followers are by knowing that they are perfect ladies and gentlemen. And in order to become ladies and gentlemen, one has to learn how not to be a victim of this manoratha. The more we are victims of this mad mind, it is very, very difficult to become perfect ladies and gentlemen. We become victims of our mood swings. We become victims of the feel-good factor. What makes me feel good is what I do. What makes Krishna feel good, what makes Guru feel good, what makes the Vaishnavas feel good is last on my list. What makes me feel good is what matters. And therefore, if I feel good in Kirtan, I'll jump up and down like anything. And one day, when I don't feel good, I'll stand there, sulken. Looking at why are they jumping up and down like this, you know. If I feel good, I shall render service. And if I don't feel good one day to clean the pots in the deity room, then who cares? I don't go for my service. If I feel good, I'll be with devotees. How can I serve you, Prabhu? How can I serve you, Prabhu? How can I serve you, Prabhu? And if I don't feel good one day, then Prabhu is somewhere else. And I am in my own space, trying to deal with my own complacency, trying to deal with my own laxity. Goodness mine! The conditioned soul is the greatest victim of the most powerful psychiatric disease called mood swings. And it's not just about psychiatry. Everyone in creation, everyone on planet Earth, a Brahma Bhuvana Loka, from the topmost planet Brahma Loka to the lowermost planet, is a victim of this disease called mood swings. And therefore, Indra sometimes gets the mood to serve Krishna. And most often, he feels, hey, I am the one who's giving these reins. Who is this talkative boy? Vachalam, Balisham, Stabdham, Agyam, Panditamaninam. Who is this little talkative boy called Krishna? If we were ever thinking that it was only me that feels like this, don't worry. Everyone, beginning from the topmost demigod, Brahma, to the lowermost species, ant, and in between everyone else, including Kamsa, is a victim of this disease called mood swings. Look at the mood of Kamsa. On the day of the wedding of Devaki and Vasudev, look at his mood, exhilarated, joyful, very, very joyful in an exhilarated mood, is taking the reins of the chariot and is driving Devaki, or riding rather, to her husband's house. So happy, so joyous, and so are we sometimes. And then suddenly the mood changes when the Akashvani starts. Ye Golok Vrindavan ka Akashvani Kendra hai. Subah ke 7 baje hain. Kamsa murakh, teri behen ka 8th beta tujhe maar dega. And when this Akashvani Kendra speaks, you can imagine suddenly the mood changes. The same guy who was so joyful, so happy, acting as a servant, my dear sister, my dear sister, my dear sister, suddenly draws his sword out of his sheath, holds her hair, drags her, and is about to chop and lop her head off the body. My God. And Vasudeva is trying to pacify his mood, acting like a psychiatrist, Baba Bas. Best psychiatrist and psychologist. Trying to convince him, pacify him, but this man, Manorathena, traveling on the chariot of his mind, is just not able to figure out what Vasudeva is speaking. At the end of it all, he just puts them in the prison cell. And the first child is born. Vasudeva, of course, he releases them. Vasudeva comes back with the first child, and suddenly again there is a change of mood. Again he becomes a gentleman. Oh, Vasudeva, you are so true to your promise. You are such a truthful man. You said that you will give your children to me, and you truly brought this child. I adore you for this. Tu bhi kya yaad rakhega? Go. You take your child back. Take your child back. Again the mood has changed. From a good mood to a bad one. From a bad mood to a good one. And then again from a good mood, puts them in the prison when that gentleman, Narad Muni, comes in the middle and says, hey Kamsa, what are you talking about? The first could be the eighth. Again the mood changes. Again behind bars. And then smashing the children, like Maharaj was explaining yesterday, on the rocks, ruthlessly, brutally, acting like a mentalman, from a mentalman to a gentleman, to a mentalman, to a gentleman, to a mentalman, to a gentleman. And in this series of verses, again, suddenly has become a gentleman. And talking such powerful philosophy. Oh, hantaha, hantasmi, yavad dhatosmi, hantasmi, tyatmanam manyate swadrik, tavat tadabhimanyagyo, badhyavadakavatamayam. Who is the killer? Who is the killed? No, soul does not kill, and the soul is not killed. I am the soul, they are the soul. I didn't kill, they didn't get killed. So you forgive me, and I forgive you. Be happy. Lead a cool life. Imagine talking all this big stuff. And what a talk His Holiness gave yesterday by talking about how philosophy without good character is of little or no meaning. What a powerful talk that was. And therefore we see Kamsa is going through these mood swings. Good and bad, good and bad, good and bad. One time a devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes I fall in Maya. Prabhupada said, sometimes. You fall in Maya always. Sometimes you fall in Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, sometimes you fall in Krishna. And I don't know if the story of a sadhaka, a practitioner devotee, is much different from the story of Kamsa. Internally. Externally, one may live by all the protocols of devotional service to the letter. But internally, I'm not sure if I can call myself to be a Vaishnava. Because I see myself go through all of these mood swings every now and then. Suddenly one day I feel I should adjust with the devotees. I should accommodate the devotees. I should say, you first, me last. I should just compromise. Another day, I feel, who the heck he thinks he is? Who the hell is he to say this to me? Adjustment down the drains. Every now and then, should I be at the receiving end? I don't know if you ever felt like that. Should I be at the receiving end always? This man always treats me like trash and rubbish. He's always trampling upon me. Should I always be at the receiving end and be a victim of someone's frenzies and madness? Suddenly it changes. And the worst time for these kind of stuff is japa. Is it not? As soon as the beads come in the hand, two things happen. Either one just falls asleep or revenge fantasies start in the mind. He said this. If the next time he says this, I will say this. And then he will say this. And if he doesn't listen, I'll go to Guru Maharaj. And if even Guru Maharaj does not listen to me, I'll go to the GBC. And even if the GBT doesn't listen to me, I'll go to Krishna and complain. Who the hell does he think he is? Can you imagine that? Good and bad, good and bad, good and bad. Mentalmen, gentlemen, mentalmen, gentlemen. Mood swings are constantly going on. And we were thinking this is Kamsa. And we were thinking this is Kamsa in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When we truly introspect and contemplate, we realize, goodness, I am going through all of this. And like I said, in all honesty, hand on my heart, japa seems to be the most powerful time for these kind of thoughts, because that is the time where Maya is trying to catch us the most. She wants to just get us distracted. And what can distract us the most? Of course, prasadam does. Therefore, when there is a Bhagavatam class or a japa session, better not be close to the kitchen. Sometimes when you give a class or chant japa and suddenly the fragrance of, you know, khichdi comes sifting in through the air. Last time khichdi had bhopla. Today will be aloo. What will there be in the khichdi? Suddenly everything just starts up. But japa time seems to be such a powerful time to get distracted by these mood swings. Sometimes I feel good in japa. Very few times. Most times I feel like trash. My mind feels like rubbish. Where all the things under the sun from everywhere just comes around. It's like a mixer grinder on the highest speed. It's going on. You know. Full speed whirlpool inside. What do we do? You know? What does one do in such a scenario? We go through all this ups and downs, these mood swings within. One best thing to do is take shelter of the holy name itself and not get carried away by the feel-good factor. It does not matter whether I feel good. It does matter whether Krishna feels good. We get carried away so much by my feeling good that we forget that bhakti is meant for Krishna to feel good, even if I feel trashed. It does not matter if I feel trashed. It does not matter if my mind is taking me for a trip, if I struggle enough to please Krishna. It does not matter what I feel like. And the more one keeps one's feeling as the center of one's practice, one is miserable. The more one keeps Krishna's feeling, Guru's feeling, Vaishnava's feeling and others' feeling as a center of one's practice of Krishna consciousness, one is blissful in spite of the miserable struggle. Struggle is always there. But when others' feelings matter to us, that struggle is a blissful struggle. If our feeling matters to us, that struggle is a miserable struggle. Struggle becomes blissful when we keep the feelings of others as a center of our practice of sadhana bhakti, as a center of the practice of our Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna enters into the rangashala. Mallanam ashanirindranam naravaro srinam smaro murtiman. He enters into the rangashala where Kamsa is along with Chanur and Mushti. And everyone around, all the Mathuravasis and the Brajavasis, are perceiving Krishna in their own ways. Someone is thinking, oh, he's our sweet boy. Someone is thinking, oh, the gopis are thinking he's our lover. And the demons are thinking his time personified come to kill us. And as Krishna enters into the wrestling arena, fights with Chanur and Mushtik, and finally drags Kamsa down and pounds him down to pulp. Only Krishna can pound Kamsa to pulp. We are helplessly overwhelmed by our mind, Kamsa. All these mood swings. We cannot deal with this mad Kamsa. It is beyond our capacity. Helplessly beyond our capacity to deal with these kind of anarthas from within. And we experience that. What we need to do, however, is take shelter of that Krishna. Our heart is like the rangashala. And within that rangashala, there is a wrestling match going on. And the wrestler inside, we know the sumo wrestlers inside, how big they are, the envy wrestler, the lust wrestler, the greed wrestler, and the illusion wrestler, the chanurs and the mushtiks in the rangashala of the heart, we know better than anyone else how powerful these wrestlers are. And every morning is a wrestling match. Our japa is a wrestling match as we enter into the rangashala of our hearts, trying to battle, combat, fight these arch rivals of ours, these powerful wrestlers. And we realize, I failed. Today, I failed. And again, I shall try tomorrow. And when I sit there tomorrow, again, I failed. And I failed. And I failed. And there are so many students here. When we see, I failed, I failed, I failed, the university kicks us out. And we take a drop. One time, one student came to me and I asked, what are you doing these days? He said, YD. So I thought it was a new degree or something. Then I asked someone, it meant a year drop. You know, year drop from college because I failed so many times. And every day I'm failing and I'm failing and I'm failing, and Krishna is so kind. He does not kick me out of the university. He does not kick me out of the university of Bhakti Yoga. Allows me to continue attempting my exam papers every morning as I sit with my mala in my hands. And as I sit there, there's only one recourse. There is only one hope. Ashan Vandha. Hope against hope, there's only one hope. And that is taking shelter of that blue boy Krishna, who enters into the rangashala to deal with this Kamsa. I can't deal with Kamsa. No one can deal with Kamsa. Krishna can deal with Kamsa. And therefore, the more we are trying to make him feel good, and the more we try to allow him to enter into the rangashala of our hearts, Krishna comes. And he can draw our minds in. He can help us deal with all of this ups and this downs, this mentalman and this gentleman mentality. Therefore, this episode, these four chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are reading now, the fourth chapter, are very beautiful. Beautiful because they're very poetic in the composition of their verses. Beautiful because it's an exciting story. And extremely beautiful because there are hidden messages. Through each of these characters, each of these pastimes, there are many, many hidden messages for a devotee to practice in his personal spiritual life. These hidden messages are given to us by our acharyas, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, Srila Vallabhacharya, Sri Vedanta Deshikan. So many personalities have commented on these verses. And most important of all, these messages are given to us by our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, condensing all the nectar of these acharyas and putting it in such a practical, contemporary way for all of us, that Bhagavatam does not seem a distant reality of the ages where the sages would meditate without wages. Bhagavatam seems to be now and here. It's not something that was on the banks of the Yamuna or the Ganga. Bhagavatam is now and here for me to read, for me to learn, and for me to practice. It's incredible the amount of hard work that Srila Prabhupada has put into this Bhaktivedanta purports is incredible. And if we truly read between the words, not simply by the letters and the words, but if we truly read between the words and between the verses, we find highlighted these incredible messages that Krishna is trying to give us. Only when we are asleep can we not hear these messages. You know, I don't know, when we use the cellular phones, people are just sending text messages after text messages after text messages. And if it's your birthday, it begins at 12 in the midnight. You know, birthday, message after message after, so many messages. And there's all kinds of stuff that people send. And if you turn your cell phone off in the night, the messages are there in the air. They're all there in the air. It's just that my phone is off. As soon as I turned the phone on, that message was existed. Suddenly comes up on my phone. Hey, really? this is what was there. This is what someone's trying to communicate to me. And therefore, in our spiritual life, when we are off, these messages are not seen and heard. As soon as we turn our life on, like we turn our cellular phones on, suddenly that message which already existed pops up on the screen. Therefore, our society is called ISKCON. Is KC on? Is Krishna consciousness on? You know, if Krishna consciousness is on, if Krishna consciousness is on in anyone's life, these messages are more than obvious. And if Krishna consciousness is off, we can rattle each and every single of this verse by heart it and be walking encyclopedias of information on the 10th canto, right? With what points which Acharya has said, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this, and Baldev Vidya Bhushan says this, and Vallabhacharya says this, and Vedanta Desikan comments this, and Ramanujacharya says this, we can become walking encyclopedias. But these messages are there in the air, but the KC is off, and thus the messages can never be seen and never be heard. These episodes are very enlightening. They're very enlivening and absolutely inspiring. Krishna, he comes to this world with such a meaningful purpose in his mind. And I don't want to go by the routine reasons why Krishna comes to this world. I want to highlight a couple of other ways which our acharyas have brought up and Srila Prabhupada highlights of how Krishna appears in this world. That's what we are reading here. And how Krishna makes and adds meaning to all of our lives by coming in this world. It is explained in the previous chapter, chapter 3 of this canto, that when Lord Krishna came to this world, the very moment he appeared, Shukadev Goswami says, Kalaha paramashobhanam. Kalaha, time. The moment at which Krishna appeared on this planet, Kalaha paramashobhanam. Paramashobhanam, Srila Prabhupada translates as, it was extremely auspicious. The moment Krishna appeared on this planet from the womb of Mother Devaki in the prison cell of Kamsa, that moment, Kalaha Paramashobhanam, was extremely auspicious. Look into the description of that time and you shall conclude, even if you do not go to the commentaries of the Acharyas, if you know a little astrology, if you know a little astronomy, based on astrology and astronomy, we shall conclude that that time was not at all auspicious. When Lord Krishna appeared on this planet, you can go through the verses and each and every single word of that verse. When Krishna appeared on this planet, whereas Shukadev Goswami is saying, Kalaha paramashobhanam, that the timing was so auspicious, not just auspicious, parama, supremely auspicious, the description does not at all confirm with the words of Shukadev Goswami. In that very same verse, he's contradicting himself. Shukadev Goswami is contradicting himself because he describes the moment when Krishna appeared and the description is inauspicious. No one should be born at such a time, at least not the Lord. We have no choice anyways. No one should be born at such a time as if we had a choice. Krishna had a choice to come. Krishna had a choice to choose his timing. Did we have a choice? I shall appear on the 31st of December at such and such timing, under such and such constellation. This will be my mother's name. This will be my father's name. This will be the city which I'll be born in. And my color will be like this. What are we talking about? One of our devotees, 2 years back, his son appeared on Mokshada Ekadashi. Was born, Gita Jayanti. And just last week, his wife was pregnant and she was due. And as she was about to give birth to a child, it seemed that the child would be again born on Gita Jayanti. So both the sons would be born on Gita Jayanti. You know? And for whatever reason, the child was born the day before Gita Jayanti. And this devotee called me and said, "Shit." Missed by one day. Otherwise, both my sons would be born on such an auspicious occasion of Gita Jayanti. And then he said, no, no, it's okay. Everything is auspicious in Krishna consciousness. If he becomes a devotee, no problem. But can we choose? My son should be born on Gita Jayanti. Krishna can. If we read that description carefully, we find the time that Krishna appeared was when the sun was journeying downwards toward the south, Tropic of Capricorn, which is considered absolutely inauspicious time to be born, according to astrology and astronomy. Well, if one has to be born, if you had a choice, like I said, we have no choice, but when God has a choice, the time that is auspicious to appear is when the sun is traveling north to the Tropic of Cancer. And Krishna did not just appear when the sun was traveling downwards, southwards. He appeared during the dark side of the moon. The Ashtami after the dark moon. Janmashtami comes after the dark moon night. And it's considered extremely inauspicious timing. And he did not appear in the day. He appeared at midnight. And midnight ghosts and hobgoblins and spirits are all moving around. Consider time in the mode of ignorance, not in the mode of goodness. Midnight is considered time in the mode of ignorance. And what is Shukadev Goswami saying? Kalaha paramashobhanam va. How is it auspicious? Everything about Krishna's birth and the moment that he chose to appear on this planet was extremely inauspicious. And Shukadev Goswami has used choice words to explain that it was an auspicious moment, contradicting the very situation that Krishna appeared at to give us a very powerful message. The most inauspicious situation in life can turn out to be the most auspicious if only one allows Krishna to appear. And therefore Lord Shiva speaks to Parvati and says, Mahavipattau samsare yahasmared madhusudana vipattau tasya sampatti bhavet iti aha shankarah. Lord Shiva Shankar is speaking to Mother Parvati. Mahavipatti, vipatti means difficulty. And mahavipatti means great difficulty in life. Samsari in this world. Samsari in this material world, there will be not vipattis and mahavipattis and up and down constantly going on. Mahavipattau samsari. When there is great difficulties, what does a devotee do? Yahasmare madhusudana. He remembers Madhusudan, the killer of the demon Madhu, the giver of sweetness, Madhuta, honey-like sweetness, Madhu. Sudanaha, remembering that Krishna who is the sweet Lord, remembering that Krishna who is the killer of the demon Madhu, yahasmaret madhusudana. As soon as one allows Krishna to appear in one's consciousness in life, what does Shankar say? Vipattau tasya sampattau bhavet. Vipatti becomes sampatti. Sampatti means wealth. That difficulty becomes an opportunity to transform that difficulty into a wealth and prosperity. Iti ah shankaraha. This is what Lord Shiva is telling Mother Parvati. And therefore then no difficulty is a difficulty. No challenge is a challenge. No inauspicious thing is inauspicious when Krishna appears. In fact, Krishna chose to appear at an inauspicious moment to give us this message. That when I come, allow me to come. Just try me. Just give me a chance. If you simply give me a chance to come in your life, I shall transform the most inauspicious of all things into auspiciousness. Srila Prabhupada gave Krishna to so many of his followers and transformed inauspicious lives into auspicious ones. Gautam Rishi transformed the life of Jabali. That Jabali who didn't even know who his father was. That Jabali who was the son of a kept mistress, the son of a prostitute. Gautam Rishi, understanding his qualities, transformed his character. And he became Satyakam Javali. Something so inauspicious. Not even to know who one's father is. What an inauspicious black spot on life. To not know who one's father is. Transform that by giving Krishna into the most auspicious of all situations. Giving him the name Satyakam Javali. And so did Srila Prabhupada. One of his followers did not even know who the father was. Did not even know who the father was. Was a thief. Was a thief. Stealing. Came in contact with Srila Prabhupada. Came to steal Srila Prabhupada's watch. And became a disciple. What an amazing story. Came to steal Srila Prabhupada's watch. And became a disciple. And one day Srila Prabhupada told him, you must make your passport. So he went to the passport office in Bombay. From Juhu, Hare Krishna land Juhu. And bought the passport form. He wrote his name. Father's name was the second line. What would he put? How inauspicious. That you can't even write your father's name. You don't even know who the father is. He turned to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you are my father. Can I put your name on the passport? Of course, Srila Prabhupada had his father, Gaur Mohan Das, his biological father. But Prabhupada said, I had a choice to put the name of my biological father, but I put on my passport the name, father's name, his divine grace, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada. And he said, you put my name. And this devotee put the name. And the only one disciple of Srila Prabhupada who has on his passport as his father's name officially and legally, Prabhupada's name, is this devotee. How when Krishna and Guru come in life, the most inauspicious of all situations can be turned into auspiciousness. Yesterday was the lunar eclipse, considered extremely inauspicious. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose to appear, create a lunar eclipse to establish this fact that when I come, inauspiciousness can turn into auspiciousness. And therefore, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains the moment, the timing of Mahaprabhu's coming in this world. Whereas Shukadeva Goswami is talking about the timing of Krishna's coming in this world and calling it Kalaha Parama Shobhanam, Kaviraj Goswami explains the timing of Sriman Mahaprabhu's advent in this world. The timing of lunar eclipse. What does he say? He says, Sakalanka Gaura Chandra Kailadarashan. I'm sorry. Akalanka Gaura Chandra Kailadarashan. Sakalanka Chandrerara Kona Prayojan. Eta Boli Rahu Kaila Chandrera Grahan. On that day, Etoboli, saying this or thinking this, Rahu Kaila Chandrera Grahan, Rahu decided to make a lunar eclipse. My father used to work for the Indian Meteorological Department, IMD, the weather department. They can tell you when the lunar eclipse would be. At this time, even the meteorological department failed. Because the Lord personally chose. Rahu suddenly got very inspired. It wasn't the time. The timing was not that for lunar eclipse. Yesterday was the IMD telling us. 6:15 to 9:48 p.m. Lunar eclipse. The umbral phase of the lunar eclipse. If you know what that means. If you don't, check it out. You know. The umbral phase of the lunar eclipse. Nevertheless, Rahu felt tremendously inspired according to the words of Sri Srimad Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Pad. Etto voli, etto chinti, thinking like this in his mind. Rahu kaila chandrera grahan. Rahu decided to make an eclipse, a lunar eclipse, to create the kaal, the timing for the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What was he thinking? What was Rahu thinking in his mind as he decided, my food, the moon, I want to go and eat it? What was he thinking? Kaviraj Goswami explains to us the devotional psychology He throws light on the devotional psychology
of Rahu. And what is the devotional psychology of Rahu? Rahu is thinking in his mind, Sakalanka Gaura, Akalanka Gaura Chandra Kaila Darshan, Kalanka, spot, black spot, inauspicious spot. Kalank hai ye mere ghar pe. Many times parents say like that when one comes to Hare Krishna. Mere kul pe sabse bada kalank hai mera beta. Bhag gaya bhakt banne ke liye. Hare Krishna karta hai. People feel like that. Kalank, a dark, inauspicious spot. Akalank means free of any blemish, free of any inauspiciousness, free of any spots. And what is that Chandra which is free of any spots? Gaura Chandra. Akalanka Gaura Chandra Kailadarashan. That Akalanka Gaura Chandra, that Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani will soon advent on the banks of river Ganga in Nadia. And if that Akalanka Gaura Chandra is coming to give darshan, Sakalanka Chandrerara Kona Prayojan. What is the use of this white moon with that black spot on it? Useless moon there. We don't want that moon. Eto Chinti Rahu Kaila Chandrera Grahan. Thinking like this with his devotional psychology. Rahu rushed. Use black spotted moon. We don't need you any longer. Gone are your days now. Because the Akalanka Gaura Chandra is about to appear on the banks of the river Ganga, on the behest and the plea of the lions of all lions, Advaita Simha, is very soon going to appear. We don't need you. And as soon as there was a Chandra Grahan, the Muslims and the Hindus, and there were no Christians then, everyone came together, the Muslims with their tiny little beards hanging down, and the Hindus with their sportive moustaches going up to their ears. Everyone came, submerging themselves waist deep in the waters of the river Ganga as they all raised their arms to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. What an auspiciousness. All incarnations came and went. Lord Chaitanya came to leave behind a permanent incarnation. I shall come and I shall go. Ram came and Ram went and Krishna came and Krishna went. But now I shall come beginning on the day of this lunar eclipse. Show what my purpose is. To leave behind an avatar which will transform our life from Sakalanka to Akalanka. Which will change our lives from inauspiciousness to the highest of all auspiciousness, which will remove all blots and all malice and all contamination. Simply when Mahaprabhu and Krishna appear in our lives, they choose these moments. They deliberately choose these moments to give us this powerful message that they are the givers of auspiciousness, not Feng Shui. They are the givers of auspiciousness. Not simply some Mahachandiyagyas. They are the givers of auspiciousness. Not simply some talismans stuck up in the neck. They are the givers of auspiciousness. The holy name is the giver of auspiciousness. Mangalam mangale bhyopi, pavanam pavane bhyopi, madhuram madhure bhyopi, harer namaiva kevalam. It is that holy name. It is the holy word of God. And it is the holy touch of his miraculous, magical hand that changes our life. And that magical hand works through his representatives like Srila Prabhupada. And works through his representatives, so many of his followers. And every single member of the Krishna consciousness movement can act as Krishna's hand. We can never be Krishna. That is Mayavad. We can act as Krishna's hand. We can act as Krishna's hand in the sense that we can be the conduits for that miraculous power and mercy to flow. Change our lives from Sakalanka to Akalanka and be the instruments to change others' life. We can't. His magic can change the life from Sakalanka to Akalanka. the month of book marathon, and so many stories could be shared of how lives have changed by Srila Prabhupada's grace, by coming in contact with Krishna through the words of his divine grace. Shruta Kirti Prabhu once was in Brazil, and he went to a restaurant. There was no one around, to try and see if he could get something to eat. And as he went and sat himself down, going through the menu card, he found himself seated across a family who had kantimalas in their necks. And he said, "Are you Hare Krishnas?" I said, "Of course." Said, "Well, what is edible here? Can you teach us? Tell us. You know, you have to find out what is edible and what is not when you travel." He said, "Okay, I'll tell you what it is." And then they started their conversation. And in the conversation, Shruta Kirti Prabhu asked, "Can you tell me how did you become a devotee?" That's the question that most of us ask. How did you come to Krishna consciousness? You know, say, how did you become a devotee? This Brazilian person, he said, 25 years back, one book distributor was trying to stick a Gita into my face. You know how book distributors can be? Tell you, give them something, they won't leave you. Ye fevicol ka jod hai, tootega nahi. They won't leave you. Sticking the Gita in the face. Oh my God. Sometimes I feel the way we do things, if I were to be come across someone like that, I would never come to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes I feel like that, the way we just be so pushy. It's nice to distribute books, but sometimes the way we do it, can come across. If I were to come across someone like that, I would never ever in my dreams come to the Hare Krishna movement. You know, thank God I didn't meet one. Sticking that book into my face like that. Sticking the book is okay, but so pushy, my God. So this man said, "I met one such book distributor. He's pushing this book in my face. Take it now. Please take it. Please take it." He said, "Finally, just to get rid of that man." I said, "Just give me, you know." And he took that book and gave him a donation and brought this book back home. 25 years back, I bought that book home and kept it in my house, he said. You know, Srila Prabhupada's books are like time bombs. We don't need to do anything. Just drop the bombs. We don't need to do anything. We can just give a bomb. And the timing when it explodes is set by Krishna. You don't need to set that. You just give the bomb. Our job is to give the time bomb. Krishna's job is to set the timing when it will explode. And in all of our lives, these bombs have exploded by Krishna's time scale, not by the preacher's time scale. No one has been successful in changing and transforming a person by our time scale. We think, "Arey, itna time de raha hu, arey, badal." Itna time dete dete aasman mein badal aa gaye, lekin tu badal nahi gaya abhi tak. Badal ja. You know, sometimes how we feel when we are working so hard. Change never comes by our time scale. Comes by Krishna's time scale. All we can do is show Krishna, "I've given the bomb, you set the timing." So this book distributor did his job. The bomb was dropped. The timing was 25 years only. It took 25 good years for the bomb to explode. And how did the bomb explode? In an absolutely unique way. In ways that are just beyond our imagination and conception. I remember when I was a child, there used to be a television serial which was called Aisa Bhi Hota Hai. And it had all this weird stuff shown. All kinds of weird stuff that probably we couldn't even conceive of would happen. And we would think, wow. Or if you go to the Western world today, they have this museum called Replease. Believe it or not. All kinds of craziest, weirdest stuff that one can even imagine can happen. Krishna can bring about a change in someone's life, to transform that sakalanka life to akalanka in the most magical and miraculous ways, you know. So after 25 years of the time bomb being at home, suddenly in Brazil, there was a big hype, the tattoo hype, where everyone was just about tattoo, 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 tattoo. And by being tattoo, 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 they were becoming like tattoo. You know, tattoos, all the time, tattoo, 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 just constantly about tattooing. The world is so funny. What was considered so abominable and rejected before becomes a fashion. It goes in a cycle. The same thing keeps coming again. Same thing keeps coming again, you know. I remember when I was a child, my mother used to ask me to wear a raincoat. And during the rains, monsoons near Pune, and then give this big Dadaji kind of umbrella. You know, that thing around like that and carry. I said, I'm not an old man. Why do you want to take me like this, you know? It's so not at all considered cool then. And those days, what was considered cool was those little folding umbrellas. You just push a button, sorts out. And then we were insisting we wanted this. And times have changed today and everyone has come back to the same Dadaji umbrellas. All the corporate people, if they carry that, say, wow, amazing, that big umbrella they carry. Fashions like that goes in cycles. And tattooing. The only people who would have tattoos originally were some Gujarati ladies or some Marwadi ladies on their hands, you know, and they would make Hanuman. And I was always wondering, what's Hanuman doing on a Mataji's hand? My grandmother, my Naniji had a Hanuman on her hand. And Hanuman must be having an identity crisis. Where am I? Who am I? I'm supposed to be a Brahmachari. What am I doing here on the Mataji's hand? But it's quite amazing. The same thing has come back again. The same thing has come back again. And there's such a hype about it all. I mean, I'm not for or against. I'm not saying that. I'm just making a point. There's such a hype. And this man, he said, oh, there was such a hype in Brazil. I decided I wanted to make a cool tattoo on my arm here. I said, really? And then what did you do? He said, the coolest of all things for tattooing. The coolest of all things for tattooing in our country, then and probably even today, was considered texts in the Sanskrit language from the East. You know? Sanskrit texts from the East, from India. And since it was so cool, I was thinking, where will I get this Sanskrit text from? Where will I get this text from? Where will I get this text from? And suddenly one day while I was cleaning the shelf, the time bomb exploded. I was cleaning this shelf and this book, the Bhagavad Gita, as it is fell off. I didn't know what was in it. I never opened it. As it fell off, on the floor it fell, lay down there open. And I saw, wow, this is exactly what I was looking for. This is what people tattoo and it's considered cool. This kind of language, yes. I don't know what it is. But let me see which one to choose. He said, let me see which one of these texts to choose. And he started reading the Bhagavad Gita. And what's amazing is in getting a tattoo, he became Krishna's tattoo. Really? And he just went through all of these texts and was trying to understand, read these purports. And finally, they came in contact with devotees, allowed Krishna to appear in their lives. And they had so many bad habits. They were struggling with so much in their lives, which they spoke to Shruta Kirti Prabhu. Said, Krishna, the Gita, Srila Prabhupada, and the Vaishnavas, they came in our lives and made our lives so absolutely auspicious, a kalanga, living a pure life and trying to cultivate a pure mind, pure lifestyle, pure motivations and a pure heart is what a devotee is looking for. Purity of lifestyle externally, purity of motivations and purity of heart in terms of minimization of the misgivings and the malice and the anarthas. And the only one who can come and do that in our lives is Krishna. San Francisco Temple, 5 Frederick Street, you know, was a mortuary. It was a mortuary. And it's not like a mortuary here in India. Mortuary is there. You're meant to have a place, a stage where the dead body is, you know, given a smile by what is called as undertakers. They'll make a smile on your face and put a suit and put your body on there and smile and everyone think, kitna khushi khushi se mara. Are khushi khushi nahi mara. First they cut the body, take the flesh out and put it all together again and stitch a smile. He didn't die like that. And the place where the kitchen of the temple was the place where they would cut the bodies and remove the flesh. The place where the altar was, 5 Frederick Street Temple in San Francisco, was the place where the dead body would be displayed for everyone to come and offer flowers. And the place where everyone would come and wait and say, oh, he was nice, he was nice, he was nice, was now the temple hall. And Srila Prabhupada said, because Krishna has come, all the inauspiciousness has been driven away. Srila Prabhupada turned a mortuary into a temple. Srila Prabhupada turned a laundromat into a temple, a place which was laundromat where people would do their laundry. Srila Prabhupada turned a farmhouse which was haunted by ghosts into a temple. Srila Prabhupada in Montreal turned a bowling alley. And if you don't know what a bowling alley is, there are these kind of pegs and you throw a ball and you may have probably seen it in a movie. I don't know. You know, just a bowling alley into a temple. Srila Prabhupada turned 7 Bury Place, London, into a temple. And recently, His Grace Gurudas Prabhu, on the 40th anniversary of Radha Landanishwara, Gurudas Prabhu, Yamuna Devi, Malati Devi, and His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, they all went to see that spot because the current Soho Street temple is no longer the same place that Prabhupada was at, 7 Bury Place. And as they all went there, they found it was a dental clinic. And as they all came out, they all started laughing and saying, 7 Bury Place, when Krishna Radha Landanishwar was there, it was transcendental. And as soon as Krishna left, it has remained merely a dental clinic now. Right. And when Srila, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in Hyderabad, and he was giving a talk in their godown, downstairs. It's a nice lecture house. And Vedanta Chaitanya Prabhu told His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, Maharaj, this used to be a godown before. Now it's a lecture hall. Maharaj said, I hope and pray that that which was a godown will now help you go up in your life by practicing Krishna consciousness and allowing Krishna to come in our lives. And therefore, it is only Krishna who comes in our lives, who can choose to change our inauspicious life into auspicious ones. This is the first of the 6 points I had to mention about Krishna's coming to this world, and the last was the verse today, but I haven't reached there and it's time up. So I wish to thank you all very much for your kind attention this morning for the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki Srila Prabhupad ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrind ki jai. Srila Prabhupad Transcendental Book Distribution Marathon ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hare Hare Bol. And now His Grace Baldev Prabhu will make the scores from how many time bombs. You know, he'll tell us how many time bombs have gone.